agenda in front of us. Let's just make sure that all of us have. For today, we are starting the opening and welcome by the co-chairperson. We have apologies, consideration of committee draft minutes, dated 28, 29. It's supposed to be 29, it can't be 39. 30th May, 2012. Discussion of committee for about an hour. Then we have the interview with Mr. Khumalo, deliberations on successful candidates. Any amendment to the proposed agenda, or shall we move for the honorable discussion?
Thank you, Chair. I move that we accept the agenda as it is.
Thank you. Any second? Honorable Nyambi, second. Any objection for us taking this agenda item?
Yes, I hope that we are going to get an explanation as promised on Honorable Khumalo and the other.
Definitely, as promised in the email, Honorable Mbanga, we have noted your concern. That's why we have made that discussion of committee for an hour to give a report. Any other matter, Honorable Members? Okay, so the agenda is duly adopted. Any welcoming remarks, Honorable Maine? It's fine. Just to welcome Honorable Members from the recess, constituency time, it wasn't really a recess. Constituency time, I know many of us did not even have any day to rest. It's continuing, but hopefully that we find some space to get recharged as our work is starting. And hopefully that within this week we'll be able to conclude our work in terms of this portfolio, in terms of this ad hoc committee, so that we are able to report our deadline for the National Assembly. I know it's the 7th of August that we are expected to report to the House, and hopefully we should be able to meet this deadline as this ad hoc committee. Again, to thank Honourable Members for the hard work that we've done. I remember the last 3 days that we had of this committee were not easy. We stayed very exhausted till late, committed to ensuring that we deliver upon the mandate that has been entrusted to us by both the Houses through the presiding officers. With those few words, I just want to welcome everybody back and look forward to very positive and constructive deliberations. Just to indicate, we have requested, remember, Honourable Members, throughout our meetings, that throughout our meetings we would like to have legal advice, legal people to be in our midst. We do have a representative today, and we thank them, because it has been quite a battle to have somebody sitting with us, quite honestly. And just to highlight to members of the public and to media, is that once we are done with the interview, through the deliberations, it's going to be a closed session. We normally do not do deliberations openly to the public. So I hope if that message was not passed to them, we do apologize. We hope they will understand. We would want to get into the deliberations as members of this committee quite freely, quite honestly. And we didn't want certain things that are articulated to us in the public domain, because we want to be free when we have those deliberations. And we are hoping that they would understand, because we have quite honestly opened the process throughout. We just want to have that process and then we can open once we deal with the reports and adoption, so that they are able to see the final product of our work. So those are the few things that I wanted to highlight and some ground rules. Coming to apologies, co-chairperson, we have received the apology. I noted that Honorable Snell, they've put your apology because you are departing tonight on a study tour, work of parliamentary work. So he's with us only today. Tomorrow he will not be with us. Honorable Swate, I do not have an explanation here. Honorable Makata, Honorable, who's this? Gunda. Gunda and Honorable Mlenzan. The apologies we have here, it says Local Government Week in the NCOP. We had requested that members attend so that we are able to wrap up and they can join the NCOP week later. I think Honorable Co-Chairperson will deal with that. Honorable Mkhulisi, I'll have to check. She has never been part of this committee and she has never attended. Honorable Mabi has been hospitalized. I got the message this morning that she's not well. She has been hospitalized and we wish her a speedy recovery. Those are the apologies honorable members that I've received. I'm not so sure if there's anything else. Honorable De Villiers, you have your hand up. You wanted another attention on that one. Honorable De Villiers, you can go.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Swati is attending important and urgent matters. Apologies just to tell the Chairperson about the situation. Thank you very much.
Honorable Swati's apology has been noted. I'm just looking, Chair, but we do have a quorum to proceed with the meeting. So we'll definitely get into consideration of the committee's draft minutes. Honorable members, we'll start with the minutes of the Monday 28th May 2012. Unfortunately, I thought they are not numbered. The first page is not numbered. I'm going to firstly take the corrections and later take any matter arising that you need to reflect upon. Firstly, on page one, any corrections?
Chair, thank you very much. So, Chairperson, on the first day, I did make an approach, but it seems it's not reflecting it.
No, it's both page one and page two. We'll reflect the apology of Honorable Skosana on page one and page two. Honorable Sten?
This is a sign for myself, Chair. Thanks. Thank you.
Honorable Snell as well. So Honorable Skosana and Honorable Snell's apologies need to be reflected. Page 2, any corrections? Page 3, any corrections? Shall we move for the adoption of the minutes? Any mover? Honorable Makubela moves. Any seconder? Honorable Zakir seconds. I did not pick up anything that is outstanding from the minutes besides what we will be dealing with. Shall I move to the minutes of the 29th? Corrections on page 1. First page. Corrections on page 2. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable De Villiers moves for adoption. Seconder. Honorable, hey, I'm forgetting the names now. How do I forget you now? Honorable Sengwa. Second, the adoption of the minutes. Yeah, it has been some time we've been gone, Honorable Show. Shall I move to the last set of minutes, which are the minutes for the 30th of May? Any corrections on first page? Any corrections on second page? Which is the last page? Shall I have a move of the adoption of the minutes of the theatre? Honorable Skosana moves. Seconder. Honorable Zake, second. Our minutes are duly adopted. We'll move to the next item. Honorable Maine, shall allow you to lead us into the discussion on the committee, discussion on committee process.
thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. Let me also welcome honorable members, in particular Honorable Banga from Limpopo. No, he said he went to Limpopo for very important matters. So I'm welcoming him from the great north. Well, honorable members, honorable members would recall that honorable members would recall that we, on the 30th, we concluded the interviews, and we also highlighted that there were some challenges. Which, as the co-chairperson, then undertook to try and resolve those challenges on behalf of all of us and come back and report to the committee. Now, you would recall that we also said that there were two candidates who fell out because of in the process, namely Mr. Ezra Lezwalo and Mr. Kumalo. And we have in that meeting indicated that the screening process, why have you left me, Mr. Banga? Honorable Banga. Okay, that's good. After the screening process, the two candidates could not be interviewed. We also said that in terms of what we were told as co-chairpersons, is that there was no need for us to meet with the candidates to explain to them, because we wanted to explain to them that because of the screening process that we undertook to all candidates that were shortlisted, you therefore have not made it. But after some time, we had to then face the reality of talking to the two candidates. We must say that we have not received much cooperation from the other candidates. And the other candidate, Mr. Kumara, did come forth. We explained the process to him. Mr. Kumara also explained his side of the story. Without getting into much detail, Honorable Co-Chair, because I can see that our friends from the media here, you know, they can blow it out of proportion. But after engagement with Mr. Kumar, and after he has done everything in his power together with his organization, GPSA, we then came to a point that we need to interview Mr. Kumar. As I said, we are not able to get Mr. Lethola has been not very cooperative. Today he's not available. He can't see us today. He can see us on Friday. On Friday, there's another excuse. So it has always been this problem. You can't even get to him through his emails and all of that. So it has been a very long struggle for us to get through Mr. Lezoro. So after Mr. Kumalo has cleared everything that was a concern of the security, the parliamentary security people, we had agreed that we should afford him the opportunity to be interviewed. Hence we are here to say to you that, and I must say that it's just that all of us maybe may not be aware of that particular thing. Mr. Kumalo just needed to do something to clear his name after the things that he was accused of, because he was not found guilty of anything. Now, we are told in South Africa that even if you're not found guilty of anything, you still have a responsibility to go and to the NPA so that they clear your name. If they don't do that, that record remains. whether you are guilty or not. So it is something that Mr. Khumalo has done. His name is cleared, hence we have then decided that we must come here and say he deserves an opportunity to be interviewed. I don't know if the coach would want to elaborate further.
Thanks, Honourable Mike. I think it has been quite clear. The matter is that we have met with Honourable Khumalo, the chief. Oh, sorry, Mr. Khumalo, not Honourable Khumalo, Mr. Khumalo. Myself, the co-chairperson, and the guys who are representing Parliament were assisting us, and they were able to guide, because we did not want to end up with a situation whereby we risked the process, but you risk the integrity of the people that you appointed, because certain things were not cleared. So that has been done. That's why we are bringing it, and that's why we allocated to say, let's come and explain to the committee why we would need to give Mr. Khumalo an opportunity to be interviewed. And I hope that members would accept. Honorable Letswalo, Mr. Letswalo, we have sent him notice like we've done with Mr. Khumalo. And he kept on shifting the goalpost, but eventually the last email was to say to him, failure to respond by this date will deem you outside the process, because I think he had concluded that we have made him outside the process, which we felt that we can't hold the process at ransom continuously without having concluded what has happened. So that's what the report is all about, and we hope that honorable members would be able to reflect and allow Mr. Khumalo to be interviewed so that we can be able to conclude the process. And I'm going to open hands for reflection on the matter. Honorable de Villiers, you'll start.
Chairperson, just one information from my understanding. Do you receive anything in writing from Mr. Khumalo and also from the parliamentary team who actually screened the members or the candidates? Do you have in writing in your presence?
Yes, we do have, it's not from Mr. Khumalo, from the National Prosecuting Authority in KwaZulu-Natal. The office have written to Parliament explaining and clearing Mr. Khumalo. That's why we feel that he needs to be interviewed. It's on that basis. When we met, we're able to explain this is what, and the guys, the security office, was able to explain to him, if this is not correct, these are the procedures that you can do, and this is what we would want as a letter coming from you, that you go and get from the prosecuting authority, that will allow us as Parliament to proceed. We've got that letter on record from the National Prosecuting Authority.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Julius. Honourable Ban.
Chair, no, thank you. I think thank you for this explanation. You see, because I was a bit confused, because I didn't really capture where we left. Now you're explaining where we left, that we said go back and make an investigation on this, and then maybe give us guidance, in which now you are giving us guidance. But I know we're against time, but the issue I was raising was that most of the time for us to close gaps, we must always bring these things here and then interact with them. But you are raising something as a member of parliament that makes me very concerned. I think I'm fine. Let me say I'm fine with the process, what you have explained. But I think I must raise this, but sure where they are legal people. It concerns me how the NPA or whoever was streaming provided us guidance in relation to this. It really concerns me, you see, as a member of parliament, because they gave us guidance on this, and that guidance constitutional that they gave us, and what you are explaining has said, I'm not a lawyer, but I think I've done also a bit of interpretation of statute, but there's something wrong, because the Constitution of South Africa says you are not guilty until proven guilty. Now, if you get yourself into an accident, drink and driving, have not been proven guilty by a court of law, they take your fingerprint. This is the problem that is confronting South Africans in general today. Where you are charged someone, you sent to a police station, they take your fingerprint. On Monday, you have a criminal record. Therefore, I'm saying we must not take this thing very lightly. These people who have given us guidance, one way or the other, I think I'm also going to write a letter to explain what made them to reach that level. There might be people who come in who have to be checked in terms of security check in high positions in government who are victimized because of these things. Recklessness from these people who gave us guidance here. Now, we had to spend time doing this for people who are not doing their work properly and incorrectly and unconstitutional. Because I believe that this is unconstitutional, what they have done. Therefore, against that background, I accept your explanation. I think I even remember that we gave you that kind of a mandate. Now you've provided us guidance. I don't know on the other part whether this other person have a legal recourse. Maybe you have got also an advice to say, if we do this thing in this particular fashion, this person does not have a legal recourse. I hope the legal people have also advised us in relation to this. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you, Honorable Mbang. Honorable Scoffin.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first thank you as co-chairs for taking up a mandate that we have given to you, and you have executed that mandate correctly. After we have extensively consulting on the matter, I should think we all know that even if the process of interviews does not allow for any panel to review, in fact, in interviews, but with the explanation and the consultation, therefore, I'm compelled to move that let's interview the candidate on the information that you are giving to us. And that interview and the outcome, it should be the interviews and the outcome of this panel, not for individual organization or individual person. And if there is anything else crop up out of this meeting, then it should not be an issue of this meeting. That's what I'm appealing for in this panel. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I sense that we do not have an objection to the process moving forward. I don't know, Honourable Mani, you have any remarks? No remarks. And any reflection from your side? Okay.
Thanks, Chair. May I join in the chorus of really thanking you for the work that you have done on us in this regard. And before we move forward, just to plead, I think we have worked well in the committee, that's why we've upheld the integrity of this institution. I just want to place on record, though, that Mr. Kumar, in coming here, should not feel prejudiced by us, and that you're going to interview him in the same fashion which we've done with everybody else. And so, just to give him that surety that the process is not going to be unfair on him, because the explanation you've given to us suffices to say that there were challenges which you have sort of on our behalf. Thanks.
No, thanks, Honorable Shaw. Actually, we have met with Mr. Kumalo, so he understands that the process was not, we were not looking after penalizing anyone. We just wanted to make sure that the process has integrity. And he has appreciated that, but I would definitely reiterate the statements when he arrives as we interview him. But we have explained to him, and he really appreciated it. That's why he was able to cooperate. And even the other candidates, that's what we have been emphasizing, that we are not here to penalize anyone. We are here because we have the interest of young people at heart, and we want to make sure that everything has the credibility, even the institution itself and the people that you, and the process. And so far, that's what we have been trying to do. That has been our target as co-chairpersons to this point. So in that note, Honorable Members, I'm trying to check. We were scheduled to start with, I don't know if he's here. He's here. We are scheduled to start with him. So we're going to start with him like 5 minutes before the time. He's scheduled for 11 o'clock. Only if members need 5 minutes or we are fine, we can proceed. Are we fine? Can we proceed?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to request that you bring Mr. Khumalo through and then we start with the interview. Sawubona baba Khumalo. Ninjani? Siyaphila. Phinde yabona.
Yebo.
Nambe kahle ukuphila.
Sitrabele kahle nje.
Oh, siyabonga.
Thank you.
Makuba yilo khuluma. I
can recognize the voice. I
can recognize the voice. Yes. Together with me, my colleague, Co-Chairperson Maine, and then with members of the ad hoc committee from both houses, the National Assembly and the NCOP. It's an open session as well. Firstly, we just want to appreciate your patience, and I know we have interacted when we had our meeting explaining the processes and challenges. Members of the committee just wanted me to assure you that the delaying in the process of you being interviewed will not prejudice you in any way. We just wanted to make sure that the process is as credible as possible, to that extent that we have credibility in the process, we have transparency in the process. Hence, we had to make sure that whoever we interview is at the level where we feel that should be interviewed and needs to be interviewed. So we hope you understand that.
I understand, Chair.
Yes. I'm going to open for members. They are going to ask questions. I'll not come in between. I'll just indicate members when you ask your question, once you're done, just indicate that you are done so that Mr. Khumalo can answer directly. You don't have to wait for me to say you can respond. Once a member is done asking the question, you will be able to respond. And then we'll let you know once we're done. We have an hour with you in terms of the interview. That's what we have been doing with other candidates, interviewing them. At the end of the process, will I allow you to ask any question if you do have, so that you can get clarity whenever you want to. Hope you have settled. I was trying to get you settled. There's water in front of you. Just indicate if you need assistance. We've got committee secretary next to you, not very far.
Okay, thanks, Chair.
Yeah. say. They are just trying to put them right in the middle so that you can see. There's a bottle of grape tizer and a bottle of water.
Water will do.
Yes, okay. Water will do, okay. Yeah, you should just put it there, it's fine.
Okay.
Honorable members, will proceed. Shall I start taking the questions for Mr. Kumar? Where am I starting? I don't even see him. Anyway, Honorable Zeke, you can start.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Mr. Kumal.
Good morning, ma'am.
And how are you?
I'm good.
Good. My question, I think I'll ask you one question. Can you share with this House what are the major challenges facing the youth of this country, more especially young people with disabilities, and what kind of programs do you think will be relevant to address those challenges, and taking into account the limited resources that are allocated to the National Development Agency?
Now, thank you very much, Madam, and greetings to all, both the houses and also the co-chairpersons and the chairperson. With the question, Chair, I think directly when I focus on the young people with disabilities, of which it's the sector at which I'm coming from, and it's the sector at which we work hand in hand, and I'm a leader from. I think, Chair, it would be fair for me to indicate that amongst the challenges which are experienced by the young people across the spectrum, which mainly in you name it, the unemployment, it's poor skills, it's illiteracy, and it's inadequate capacity that young people of the Republic are currently at a position within the disability sector, or from the young people with disabilities, it's double the challenges because of also the background and also the social factors and the environment at which it does not allow them to at least access opportunities of which ordinary or normal young people would also be able to advance. So, meaning the NYDA as a government entity which deals with youth development, concentrating most particularly in the business development, growth of young entrepreneurs, exposing them into opportunities and all those stuff. We have been able to establish from the PSA as vice of that young people with disabilities. There's been minimal engagement on young people in terms of developing them to become independent business peoples. And we have been experiencing that literacy. They have been having challenges. They are most attending special schools. Some of them, they hardly reach matric levels. At some point, you find it difficult for them to access just a minimal training that requires at least matric and so on. But I think with the resources that the NYDA has enabled the young people, particularly with the program that is the metric rewrite and sending young people to the FET, I think we still have a good chance to advance to that particular course. But I think with the business development and the business funding and the capturing of the young disabled peoples within the systems of the NYDA, just because the NYDA has had the job placement program that is still even active, but it lacks a little bit of capturing of the young people with disabilities due to the factors that I've alluded before, Chair. But I think with the current resources and the expansion of that current resources in terms of putting more funds and consideration and making sure that the programs that I have just alluded upon are able to respond particularly to the young people with disabilities, not only them, because it is a call for all young peoples of the Republic, but with specific focus to bring the balance with the young disabled peoples. Thank you.
Honorable Skosana.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Morning, Mr. Kumar.
Morning, Bob Skosana.
Chumalo, I should think I've got just one question to ask, and feel free to respond to that question. My question is related to the development of youth. As a developing practitioner, can you explain how will you take development of youth of this country into a picture and make sure that their lives are better? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Babu Skosan. I think, Chair, with the experience, legal experience that we've been exposed to, and legal experience of the sectors, the community involvements, the provincial national involvements in terms of the youth development, I think what one as a youth development practitioner would be able to do, I think it would be to take the agenda that is articulated in the NYDA Act, of which it is the document that gives us the mandate as to what it is that needs to be done and what it is that we need to concentrate upon to make sure that we are able to advance the cause of minimizing or fighting the challenge of unemployment, which is one of the elements that resides within the underdevelopment of the young peoples. But I think myself as an individual would be to expose my skills, my intellectual capacity, and my experience in terms of coming up with programs and advising programs within the NYDA, of which one would see fit that if possibly those programs would be collaborated with a view in line with the guiding document, which is the NYDA Act, we will be able to stand a chance to advance into something. In fact, we have been thinking along the lines, Chair. We have not been able to touch base with the young people of the Republic in a sense that we have been wanting to concentrate on only on the business development side of the young people. And in this case, for us to take development straight and direct to the grassroots level, exactly where young peoples are, we have been exploring and we have been engaging as the young peoples with some of the formal organization. You name your it's the engineering organization that deals with engineering and young people from universities. But in fact, we wanted to collaborate them with a view that if you have young people that are residing within the vicinity of Cape Town, and yet they are unemployed, they are sitting down outside, sitting outside the stores and doing nothing, we connect those young people, we give them just those ordinary simple skills of how to save the car, how to change the car brakes, how to change the CV joints, just that one little skill that can help them to do something each and every day, day by day, with the help of those young professionals, then we will stand to benefit the chance of having to advance a particular cause, that of taking them outside from the stores and giving them the purpose to do, and with that coming in to blend with the programs of the NYDA. We just thought amongst the ideas that we were thinking, that it would be part and parcel that can take the NYDA from where it is, but be able to take it right at the grassroots level where the young people are, and be able to respond to the needs of the young people as to where they are, and be able to give them those minimal or necessary skills that can give them at least the energy to survive the day, and they will grow from that one. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sine?
Sorry. Mine would be, Mr. Commando, the current NYDA Act, in your opinion, does it inhibit or does it enhance the work that you tasked to do? And if you could just give some example of which you think the answer is, please.
Can you please come again on that one?
I'm saying, do you believe that the current NYDA Act inhibits or enhances the work of the board? And if you believe it inhibits it, if you could elaborate, and if you believe it enhances it, could you elaborate, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the current NYDA Act, the Act of 2014, if I'm not mistaken, I think it enhances the work of the NYDA, considering that it took into cognizance the two previous institutions, your National Youth Commission and the former UMSOBO, and blend both these two institutions into one. And with that one institution, with now further mandate, not only to lobby and advocate for youth programs with government, and also to concentrate on the business development itself, but further was enhanced to be able to regulate itself now, and beyond the regulation, it was able now to implement programs that it advocated upon with government and agreed with government and then implemented them. So I think it does not inhibit in a sense, but the mandate has been also enhanced. The powers and the extent at which the service delivery of the young people for their development, it has been enhanced in that view. That will be my take on that one. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Divina. Indicate if you have a follow-up after asking your question.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be consistent with my questions, the previous candidates, and my question to you, Mr. Kumalo, will be the same. Good morning. My question is, tell me what you will contribute if you will be elected as a board member of the NYDA in connection with one, good governance of the NYDA, and two, that legislation is implemented to benefit the youth. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member de Villiers. I think, Chair, with confidence and also with the powers entrusted in us in the previous appointment, I would say in the governance part, one part or most of my strengths in the governance part of the institution, I have ensured, and this is what also I am going to continue to ensure, that the code of good practice and ethics will be adhered to and will remain. We will remain the consistent board as we have remained the consistent board that has never been experiencing problems in the previous term of office. We have never been divided in our work. We have remained solid. We have remained working as a collective. And I think the energies and the capabilities that I would be able to continue doing within the level of the board, it will be to apply the independent thinking and also to contribute according to the level of the expectation as a board member, and further work as a collective with the board in terms of advancing and championing the mandate which is articulated into the NYDA board. So I think at the level of the governance, it is exactly what one Ntabo Kumalo would be able to continue to contribute as we have done so. And I think the credibility of the board with the work that we have done in the previous term, it talks to that, that we have been able to grow from that particular level. And the second part, you said it was governance, and then the second part, can please come.
Second part is about legislation.
It's about legislation.
Yes.
I think it is the obligation and the fiduciary duty of the board to see up to it and to make sure that the legislation and the acts regulating the institution and the policies assisting for the operation of the institution are adhered to. But I think with that, Chair, one will have to consider it is a situation that is sitting with us at hand, and the situation that we acknowledge and the level of operations that we have, at the level of the board we deal with governance. And in fact, it is a situation whereby we interfere with our nose at the affairs of the organization without even putting our hands to work. In fact, what we play an oversight role. We play a governance role. So at some point, one had to come to terms with the fact that as members of parliament yourself, you are part of governance, but at some point you have situations where you experience that some of the documents are not implemented as per they are expected, and you engage with the administration, of which it's the hand that works towards the implementation of the particular document. So I think it lies with the good relationship that the board as the governor have with the administration part of the organization, of which these two parties, with them having that good relationship, stands a very good chance to honor and respect and also follow the guidelines of the guiding documents, the legislations, the acts, the policies and what. So I think it is exactly there, because at the level of the board, we just only stick our noses at the affairs of the organization without really putting our hands on. There are people who are putting their hands on. Therefore, it lies in the good relationship that the board develops with the administration for the implementation of the legislation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shewa.
Thank you, Chair Ntungwa. Obviously, your nomination even indicates you've been a member of the board for the past 3 years, but I wouldn't want to put you in a situation where you have to account for the work of the previous board. But borrowing from the experiences that you had in the board, and should you be reappointed into the board for the next 3 years, what do you think should be the key priority areas of the NYDA in the next term, so that we can be in a position to understand where you think the difficulties young people that they find themselves in, which ones do you think need to be addressed first? So if you can just take us through that scenario. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. I think the key priorities of the NYDA that I would think the agency would have to focus or concentrate upon. Number one would be to accelerate and to continue the work that has been done in terms of availing the National Youth Development Agency in all areas of the Republic, particularly with a view of having the local municipalities, these municipalities, having the fully functional offices of the National Youth Development Agency. However, that has cost implications, financial burden in it, with the continuous, consistent underfunding of the NYDA that has been ongoing, of which it's a challenge that will stand in between that particular objective. Because the current issues, the current challenges that the young people are experiencing, it is exactly at the grassroots level. So if the priority will be to accelerate the service of the NYDA, the visibility of the NYDA, the accessibility of the NYDA at the grassroots level, at the local municipalities, it will be the number one priority. And secondly, it will be for the NYDA to undertake programs that talks to the economic growth of the Republic. One, we have launched in the previous term the program named Itubalenja, with a view that we have been in the previous patterns been funding young people's, quite a number of young people's have been allocated with quite huge amounts of funding. And when you go back and when you trace back and you do your analysis, you do your assessment, you find that money, it does not respond, it does not talk to the actual needs of the young people in the Republic. That is why, in the previous experiences, we have requested that we borrow from the previous experiences. And we have then said, it makes sense that quite a number of young people, I think those persons, we have borrowed them also from India when we look at the growing markets from India, that with young people, you find them outside in towns, they are having their saloons, they are having their shifanyamas there, they are having their car wash, because it is exactly what they can access immediately at hand to make ends meet. And we wanted to concentrate on young people who are doing something that is already running, because it serves a purpose, and to assist those people who are already out there doing something with a view that they want to gain something. It gives them motivation, and also it gives them a pillar of support if we come to part with them and assist them with the adequate training, that it is the prerequisite before they are allocated that particular amount of funding that enables them to. So it is exactly the priority that needs to be concentrated upon, because it has been responding to the exact need of the young people. And further, I think also the strengthening and also the development of the NYDA program, that has been the metric rewrite, it has not been working as per our expectation or at the level at which we expected. But with the numbers that we have been able to assist, it gave us a challenge that this particular program needed to be expanded, needed to be implemented in full force, so that we are able to address the previous challenges that I've alluded upon, that within the youth itself, we've got different types of youth. We've got local youth, which is unemployed. You've got youth, childhood at homes. You've got the youth with disabilities. You've got your young women, which needs to be developed. You've got quite a vast majority challenges of different types of youth, but they all fall under and within one sector, of which it is youth. Then with programs that will be able to address their needs, I think amongst the priorities, it's those three that I have alluded upon, that I think with my engagement and also with my input and with me being appointed and also being enabled to the opportunity to continue to work as a youth development practitioner, one would want to see happening, so that at least we'll be able to count our gains and losses as a collective, the young peoples of the Republic. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mvana.
Moreover, Moreover. Yeah. I will ask you the same questions I asked from the other candidates. The first question is that in South Africa, the South African youth has a perception that the NYDA continue to be an extension of the ANC and the ANC Youth League to dispatch patronage to those who support the ANC. How would you change that perception? 42% of the budget of the NYDA goes to administration and salaries. How can we do it better to make sure that the big bulk of the budget goes to services rather than this? We have built entrepreneurs through the NYDA, but these entrepreneurs were built do not create jobs. It's just restaurant and laptop entrepreneurs. How do we build skilled entrepreneurs? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, in the last question, where we develop young entrepreneurs for the purpose of the greater development of the Republic and the major contribution in the economy of the country, I think I'll be consistent, Chair, in saying we have also observed that and we have also analyzed that. That is why we came with the programs that I think I've alluded upon in the previous experience as programs that seek to respond to the exact needs of the young people, to counter the desktop offices to counter the restaurants, which does not, in fact, help and assist in terms of the employment of the young peoples. And with the 42% margin of the budget of the NYDA administration, the monies are going for the administration. I think, Chair, for us to be fair, it would be fair, Chair, if we put it blunt as it is, Chair. For the NYDA to function and for the NYDA to render the services to the young people, it will require a full functional administration with a full complemented organogram. So when we are talking about the expansion of the NYDA, the visibility of the NYDA to the level of local municipalities, it doesn't mean that the NYDA itself will do it alone, but with the assistance of other government institutions and also partnering with other government institutions, it is then within the chance. But meaning, from the 42, if we want to see, and if we're genuine with wanting to see the NYDA accelerating and advancing the services of the young people to the grassroots level, the NYDA will have to, at some point, at the budget allocation that I have indicated, Chair, that has been consistently dropping with the number of rents. Meaning, from the little that were furnished from the National Treasury's office or from the government, we are doing our best we can. And if this is the case, we have undertaken a study, Chair, to just do a budget projection of just one office, one local office. How much will it take to run that office? It's a round figure of 3.something million. So with all the local municipalities, your district municipalities, that the organization is supposed to be working upon. So it goes back to the call, the initial call that was made by the young peoples of the Republic, that the 1.4 billion budget allocation that they've requested from our government, it will not do much, but at least it will be able to carry weight and be able to give young people something to live upon. So, for us to be fair, yes, much of the budget allocation has been maintaining the staff, because we've got the staff, was already in the office, and with the new institution, the institution will have to also recruit the new people which will be able to be working according to the mandate of the organization. Then the staff complement then grow from them. And if we are yet to extend the services of the NYDA, the staff would complement will have to grow then. So from the 42%, it will grow to a particular level. So this goes back to the social call and to the young people's call, that for the young people's development, thus far, we see it that with the 1.something billion annual allocation that we have been always advocating about, we will stand a good chance to do something for the young people of the Republic. But with the perception, Chair, that the NYDA has been the milking cow of the ANC Youth League, or has been the institution that has been benefiting the young people of the Republic, I'll agree with you, Chair. It's a perception. I think up until we are able to establish, and we are talking on founded basis, Chair, we have been accounting to the committee in Parliament, giving reports. We have been audited by the Auditor General. We have not been qualified, but Chair, there were matters of emphasis where we have found the institution. When we measured the institution, there were areas of focus that we needed to have in hand. And Chair, we have never received a qualified audit. But however, Chair, I will be blunt also on this one, Chair. Well, this is the government of political organizations, Chair. And political organizations, they have different ideologies. that I subscribe to. And for me, Chair, I think it would be an act of an apology, Chair, for whoever is in government, that when you appoint people who understand your policies, who understand your government agenda, who understand the cause that you want to advance to, therefore you are called upon to be the milking cow of the particular organization. It is correct, Chair. It is practiced even in local municipalities of different political organizations. Provinces like the current province that I am into, the current organization that is in control of the province is doing things according to the beliefs of the organization. There is nothing wrong, Chair. So the captain, if the captain is bringing the guns on board of which he feels and he shows that if he takes these ships and armed with these guns, so when he is judged, he will be judged on the basis of the guns that he used them. You were so sure that you were going to win this fight, but we are facing this fight with the guns. We have requested adequate resources. We have gave you everything. We have allowed you everything, but you have failed with everything that you just recommended and you thought you would work with. So, Chair, the perception that the NYDA has been the entity that has been benefiting mostly the young people from the ruling party, I would say it is a perception, it is a political opportune stunt, and Chair, it needs us to be very careful about this and also to be very blunt about this. You cannot appoint someone that you don't believe the person will be working according to the policies that we have promised the peoples of the Republic. Because the view, if you appoint as such, the peoples who are not in favor of the view or the policies that you are working towards to, the only work of that person in that position will be to prove you wrong on how wrong are your policies. So you will not tend to advance the cause that you want to advance. You will be experiencing the internal problems and you won't be able to deliver. So it is the normal practice, it is the normal political practice, it is the normal conduct of the young peoples or of the politicians in the Republic, but I will refuse, Chair, to admit that perception. I was just putting a view that what is happening in the current political arena of the Republic. The board of the NYDA has been a most inclusive board of the NYDA. We've got young peoples from the different racial, we've got young people from the different political organizations, from the civil organization. That is correct, Chair. But when we all go there, I think it insults also the intelligence and also the credibility of the board, that the board was there, window dressing. No, we were not there, window dressing. We were taking decisions. And when we take decisions, Chair, it is correct. Some people will clap hands and applaud the decisions, and some people, Chair, will disapprove the decision. So the mind chooses, Chair, to believe and to respect what it wants to believe and respect. And it chooses not to do otherwise. It's a matter of choice, Chair. But I think we have been consistent, impartial as the board, and we have proof, Chair, in the work of the NYDA that we have done that. It is not only the young people from whichever organization that is named or the ANC Youth League. But we have been able to respond as much as we can to all the young peoples of the Republic, because we are not asking which political membership are you holding. No, we are not doing that. But we are affording them whatever resources that the NYDA was able to afford them. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubel.
Thanks, Chair. We have Mshagas. I've got two questions for you. I would prefer to ask them separately. The first one, you did hint on some of the issues already, but I would want you to focus on it and give what you think should be the solutions probably. That would regard the economic participation by young people. In the recent past, we have seen that there's been a lot of investment in that regard within the context of economic transformation. Most young people were given funds to run businesses, and I don't want to believe that it's necessarily only the issue of skills, shortage of skills, why those businesses were run down. In your view, what are the other challenges to ensure that we have got sustainable businesses run by young people? And what could be done to deal with those kind of challenges? That will be the first one, and I will come on the second one later.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think the solution to those particular challenges that the Honorable Member is alluding upon with an example that young people have been afforded the land for their farming and to produce, but they have been not successful, and it's not a matter of skills, but what seems to be the problem. I think, Chair, the solutions to that, Chair, the solutions to that, I've alluded upon, the member is correct, but I've touched a little bit on them, has been that I think the funding model of the NYDA and the former institutions have been more on particular businesses, we have been more on companies, we have been more on young people who will be able to develop a business plan, to present their proposal and to present their idea, and then from those bases, budget or funding allocation is made available to them. So the solution that we have thought would be able to assist in the economic participation has been met. We have young people already who are doing something, who are running day-to-day businesses, because we have been putting emphasis on that. We now want young people who want to develop businesses. When you start saying you want to develop a business, you must have something that is up and running, that is able to give you a little bit of rent a day. That is a business. And you wake up early in the morning, you continuously attend to that business, you continuously work to that business. So that gives us an entrepreneur in practice, that the person is already working towards something. The person is business-minded. For us, the business concept, you do not start a business by thinking, and then you develop this huge document, and then you present to them, then you have the businesses running low. But you must have something that is running. On top of that, when we come for the supplement or for your development, we are developing something that is already up and running. So it is correct, Chair, that in some cases there have been failures that we have not done adequate research, we have not even, as young people in some cases, understood our passion. What is it that we are passionate with? So, with the level of poverty and levels of unemployment that we are currently experiencing, whatever it is that we think as an idea that would work, whatever it is that we think we can grab on top of the table, we will do that. And it does not survive. It does not stand the test of time. So I think finding people's passion, and also for the NYDA or for the entity, the solution will be to focus on young people
who are already doing something already that is up and running. When we develop those people, they are already passionate about what they are doing. It's a matter of growing them. When you grow them with young persons that we grow, we tend to at least benefit 4 young people each. Because when the person grows, the person tends to come and bring other young people to partner and work with. And then from that, we are able to counter the challenge. I think it's a matter of finding purpose. It's a matter of finding the passion. And then the models, the funding models that we have indicated that we have changed. Because it can't be either that 1 million, of which in the 1 million, you would be able to fund with 50,000, at least about 20 young people. So we've just thought along those lines, and we just wanted to afford and enable all young people in the small business market to be able to make a meaningful contribution in the economic participation of the country. Through that, we train them, we develop them as the prerequisite for them to be able to access that particular 50,000 funding. And with that, they will be able to grow, because they are also monitored and taken in the process of the NYDA, which is an incubator of some sort that allows them to grow each and every day. We've even allocated and appointed mentors who will be able to mentor them and assist them hand in hand to see up to it that from where they are excelling, they will be able to grow and grow bigger than the next day.
Just a second, Mr. Kumalo, I want you to know that you are not here in your capacity as a former board member, because currently there is no board. Don't feel obligated, don't feel as if you are here to account. So you need to respond in a manner that you are dealing with. Is your interview to becoming a board? So I thought, let me just caution you, because I've done that to other members that served with you as board members. Honorable Makube.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the previous response to my first question. The second one will be on social cohesion. Again, we have just hinted on 2 of our triple challenges. You referred to unemployment and poverty, and the third is inequality that we are facing as society. Now, my question will be, what do you think should be done to societal endeavors in terms of ensuring that our slogan and vision, that of unity in diversity as a nation, be realized, that whereas we may be having these challenges, we may be coming from various backgrounds, be it in terms of tradition, culture, whatever you name them, what could still be done to ensure that we unite behind particular programs that will take the country forward? And I take it you get my question, and if you don't, you can request me to try elaborate further. Yes.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. I think I've captured the question. Dr. Makubela, and the House, and the social cohesion, on the call, the Chair, to advance the point of unity. One Chair, one would think, if we can find, if we'd be able to identify the points where we are able to find each other. With the social cohesion, the points, Chair, at which we all not finding each other. Number one reason is the economic sector and the economic participation, Chair. The social challenges experienced are not the same, are always different. So if we would be able to properly analyze the social setting, the economic participations and the levels, and the social challenges and their levels. In this view, Honorable Makubela, young people whom are Indians, you'll find them busy in their family businesses. The social issues or challenges facing the young African peoples, you'll find them to differ with that of the whites. So for the social cohesion to advance for the level of the greater unity of the country, it would be for us to expose the young people of the Republic in economic opportunities, where at times when they have to meet and discuss business opportunities, economic participation, or not, we will be able to find each other in our different ways. We talk in one language. That will further advance to the understanding of our backgrounds as to where are we coming from and who are we as the young people of the Republic and where are we as we speak now. So with that, I have talked of the social challenges. Social challenges experienced by us as young African peoples with that of other races are also different. So that is the fact. When we go out to advise government on 1, 2, 3 that we wish to see happening and that we think can respond to the call of our development, you'll find the level of participation of other races very minimal. It is not wrong, yet it is not right. But I think it is a matter of interest. What is it that interests them the most? What is it that when you want to group young African peoples that bring them into their numbers? What is it that when you want to group young Indian peoples that brings them, young colors, young Africans, or young whites? So that once you are able to analyze that and find the point of their interest and introduce each of these races to the points of those interests, it is then we'll be able to open the lines of communications. Because for us to advance for social cohesion to the level of unity, we'll need to communicate and understand each other. And until we are able to identify those points, and after identifying those points of their interest, we introduce those who have not been able to access those areas of interest. And then, with the blending of all colors, of all races, into that specific point of interest, we stand to start a dialogue, we stand to start a communication, and then we stand to reach the point of understanding each other for the call that you've just alluded upon, that for the greater unity of the country. In the social cohesion, I think, it is that I think, if it can be done, if it can be explored, if it can be put across to work effectively, we will be able to find a country that is speaking in unity and to advance the call of the social cohesion. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. And if the Honorable Nyame.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable, morning, Mdunga. Ba. I'll ask one question, three, but you have covered some because you are detailed when dealing with some of the questions. Checking the challenges that you have raised and moving forward, it's clear that we have to review legislation, or in some other instances we have to come out with new acts. Take us through your understanding the process of legislation in our beloved country, South Africa. How is that process unfolding if ever we have to come with the legislation in our country?
Can I ask the Honorable Member, specifically with the youth perspective or generally, the legislation in general?
Let me be very generous as I've done to others. not with specific to youth, but any legislation that you can use as an example, so that you can be very general.
The process at which the country undertakes to
basically, that's the essence of the question.
Yes. No. Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, if I am to be correct, for the legislation process, Chair, there are views which arises with a particular idea, and the dialogue starts. You start having dialogues, and you start having a point at which particular institutions and particular political heads or a justice system is also lobbied in entering into those engagements or in entering into those dialogues and, so to say, debates. Those ideas, thoroughly debated and properly researched, they enter into a very, very, very intense debate where all angles are dealt with for the purpose of coming up with one legislation that will be able to talk to them all and one. So with that, the proposal then are forwarded to Parliament for Parliament to discuss with them. The Parliament has the National Council of Provinces, the National Assembly, where the members of Parliament sit, all of them together, where these discussions are tabled. And then these matters or whatever ideas are presented before Parliament. And when they are presented before Parliament, and then Parliament as an entity then takes the responsibility to undertake the community processes whereby it has the community, I just ran out of the name, but it's the community sessions where parliaments go through and sit down with communities to further discuss what is it that they seek to advance, what is it that they want parliament to do, for them to gather that information correctly, and then they are able to collaborate that and make that document available before parliament to propose for the legislation or for a particular act in a form of a bill, and then it then goes for approval to be legislated as an act or something like that. I think that is my understanding of the question that you have asked. I'm not sure if I went to the level where you wanted to, but that would be my take, Chair.
Thanks, Mdungu, I'm fine.
What's your person, mine?
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Khumalo.
Afternoon.
Actually, basically, I do not have an answer to the question, Chair, but I've heard you say, Mr. Khumalo, that one of the things that the incoming board must do is to make sure that the NYDA is visible, and you made mention of them having offices at grassroots level, if I captured you correctly. Now my question to you would be, having an office in Uganda in KZN, how would that help to develop youth in that particular area? I've chosen Uganda because you're from KZN, so it's one rural area that is spoken about a lot. I have visited a number of them, but I forgot their names. So I've chosen Uganda, not for any other reason. How would just having an office there and with an administrator who may be employed by the NYDA assist to develop youth in that particular area or at the grassroots, as you're saying? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair,
the honorable member is justified to choose in Kandla. It's the number one rural area of the Republic. So, thank you very much. Now, Chair, I think with the rural development corner, Chair, by the entire government of the Republic, the view has been that, Chair, for rural development, if we interpret the rural development, it is a situation whereby a young person from Enkandla will not have to plan looking for some monies to go down to Durban to process or to start lobbying for the support of whatever idea, whatever youth development program that a young person wants to do. So rural development, if we interpret it correctly, it is exactly when those peoples in that rural area are able to access development in their respective areas without even going out to external places. Therefore, with those offices being availed at the local level, at the deep rural areas of our country, for a young person, because with those offices, it is not only the administration or the administrator that sits and awaits for young people. What. We've got also other programs where we assist young people. You've got your internet to access savings, what. So with whatever information they want to access, they'll be able to be exposed to one, the skills of accessing computers. They'll also be able to develop their skills on how to conduct research for themselves and what. So with those offices coming down exactly to the deep rural areas, it responds to the call for rural development that it has to be accessed in the exact areas where people reside and get their full savings without even going out to the external areas. So with those offices, that is what we seek to advance. That is what the young people stands to benefit. It's the full service complement of the office exactly at their area of residence. Thanks, Chair.
Any follow-up, Honourable Mind? Mr. Kumar, there's been an outcry in the public about the image of the NYTA. What's your view about the public outcry? And how will we turn around? What is your view in terms of turning around the image of the institution so that more young people can have confidence in it?
Thanks, Chair. May I request for the clarity, Chair? The public outcry. Chair, to be precise, in what view, the underdevelopment, the visibility of the NYDA, the World Assembly hosted, and which the public outcry, to be specific.
The public outcry in terms of the role of the NYDA in servicing young people, generally.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. I think the public outcry, Chair, and the image of with the image of the NYDA, it goes back, Chair, to the financial muscles enabled to the NYDA, Chair. For the NYDA, with the establishment of the NYDA, most of us, the young peoples of the Republic, we had our hopes high, Chair. We sought to think that drastic changes will be made and excessive service delivery and accessibility of the services of the NYDA currently at with the resources that we are having. Young people grew that hope very high, who are part and parcel of those young people. But I think, Chair, with the image, We have been servicing the young people to our best excellence. If we have been doing that with the minimal budget allocation,
So this, it says, for the image of the NYDA to change, because the public outcry is that, okay, we have not seen the NYDA, we have not had the NYDA, we have not engaged in the NYDA, we have not even benefited anything from the NYDA. It is the honest truth, Chair. The efforts have been but a drop in an ocean. Then it goes back to, what is it that we think it can go to address, because it's not the public, the public stance of the citizens. We go and be visible to television and we talk nice languages and then we go out, we take photos of whichever areas. It is exactly because when that is happening, it is the honest fact that change. When you go to Abantwana eGuguletu and give them that particular look on a youth development, it's that young people of eGuguletu. But abanye abantwana eMthatha, they are saying, why by the path eGuguletu? But they have not came to Umthatha. And that does not say the NYDA is not going to come to Umthatha. But with minimal resources, the NYDA will be able to go a particular extent of a distance. So for the organizational change of the image, it will require the government to have confidence in the NYDA. It will require the very radical militant board of the NYDA with a very good code of practice and ethics. It will require the administration that understands the social call outside what it is. And with those checks, it will also be dependent on what is it that is afforded the NYDA to respond to the call of the public outcry. The public outcry is the NYDA is not visible, the NYDA is not doing anything, the NYDA has not been visiting our places, have not been engaging us, we have not been benefiting from the NYDA, but it has been particular individuals. That is correct. That is the public outcry. So if that is the case, it also dependent on the financial muscles. So for the organizational change and for the image of the NYDA to be brought back to where the NYDA was trusted, to where the NYDA was the hope of the young people, it will require the government to venture with no exception or conditions or reservations and to trust the entity with full confidence and integrity. Therefore, with that, the entity will be enabled to respond to the young people's call. When the entity is able to respond to the young people's, it is then we are going to listen to a different tone of the public outcry. And the public outcry then will be, thank you very much, government, for putting the NYDA. We have seen the little bit of the development. Thanks, sir.
Okay. In terms of your CV, you are saying you are the development committee chairperson in NYDA. Is it a subcommittee of the board?
Yes, it was a subcommittee of the board, yes.
What was its responsibility?
The responsibility, it was to monitor and evaluate the internal development of the organization and also the service extent of the delivery to the young people. So we would sit down, would analyze, we would evaluate programs, would advise to the administration through the board as to what is it that is happening. Is the organization growing internally? If it grows internally, you talk of unemployment, how much of the young people is the NYDA bringing on board as employees? And if we are able to undertake services, with services, are we putting conditions ourselves to be the champions of the young people's vehicle to opportunities? If we are able to appoint companies, those companies, are they pro-youth? What is it that they are doing? They give us the levels, the figures at which the young people are represented in the company as numbers. Young women, do you have young people with disabilities and all this stuff? So it was a quite vast terms of references that we're doing, but basically with two references, the internal development of the organization and also the service delivery extent. Is it developing? Are we advancing or are we not? So that was, those were the objectives.
Okay, thank you. Just the last one from my side. Being involved in the process, what is your view of the process that you've participated specifically towards until reaching this interview? We've asked this question to all participants and would like feedback so that if there are areas that we need to improve, we should be able to look at that as Parliament. But just want to understand your honest opinion in terms of the process of this appointment.
In terms of the process, the public call for nominations.
The entire process
the
until
process.
Now.
Yeah. I'm not sure, Chair, I'm getting you. The current interview process or the process from the nominations, acceptance towards the shortlisting up until the interviews and appointments.
The entire process. Just want to hear your opinion about the parliamentary process on the parliamentary way of doing things on the process of appointing the NYDA board, especially with your experiences. This is what I'm asking, and this is a question we've asked all the participants to give us feedback. That's what I'm saying. For purposes as well, for us to improve in how we do things, if there are weaknesses, and if we are doing well, for us to know that actually this is what we are doing. That's what I'm just asking you.
No. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think the process has been very much open, inclusive, and also accommodative, Chair. But I think further, it is within the level of the committee itself that what are the guidelines and what guides the committee during the whole process. But the process that I can allude to is that with the call for nominations, it gives and affords each and every person the opportunity to raise views, to raise names, and to come with suggestions and with people accepting to show the interest and also the energies to form part of this huge entity and to make a meaningful participation. I think it has also been a very good practice from the level of Parliament. The shortlisting processes are internal, I cannot say that. I think up to the level of the interviews themselves. I think, Chair, it allows the space, the process allows the space for organizations to recommend, to suggest, for individuals of the republics to also say their word. And in a process, Chair, I would say, thus far, Chair, it has been a process from the previous experience and now. It has been a process that we have found nice and the organization that I represent, the Disabled in South Africa, from the PSA. It has been most inclusive and, Chair Feather, it has been most open and transparent and affording opportunities and the space to all young peoples. But at the end of the day, limited numbers have to remain as legislated by the NYDA Act. But it has been open, Chair. It has been an experience or the opportunity that I think it stands to benefit almost the utmost majority of the young people.
Thank you very much, Mr. Khumalo. Any questions you'd like to ask us?
Yes, there is, Chair.
Go ahead.
Chair, with the view and the mandate of the committee from by Parliament, I just wanted to ask this question from all the members of the panel. In the committee or in your experiences as members of Parliament, how do you view youth development in your own view? What is it that you view as the youth development, and what is it that you view as youthful?
summit as the youth of the country to define youth development, we can engage more. But today, we are only getting the views and the perspective of the youth that has been invited for interviews. We can take that debate generally. Parliament have just given us a slight opportunity just to get the feeling of the candidates on how they perceive youth development and the programs in which they have. We might say something here to favor others than others. We cannot comment on that question. It's very loaded on the decisions we are going to take today.
That's fair enough.
Chair, I think Chair, just shortly, in my thinking as a young person, Chair, youth development and youthful active programs or activities, Chair, in my interpretation is that you'll find my father wanting me to become an attorney, wanting me to
Mr.
become...
Mr. Kumalo, I'm going to stop you. We are not going to enter into a debate of youth development.
Yes,
otherwise, you're going to eat on the time where we have... I don't want to disadvantage other candidates. I think what Honorable Mbanga has responded suffices. And as he's saying, as a young person of this country, because he's still young, when there's a summit, he would like to engage further in this discussion so that we don't take more time in engaging you, and tomorrow we are accused of giving you favorable time in terms of engaging with the committee. I can see you are very energetic in terms of coming to the ideology and discourse of youth development, and you might end up provoking a whole lot of other people within the panel, and they will cross the line where they're not supposed to. I hope you would understand that. Okay. Just to thank you for participating, Mr. Kumalo, coming through, and we wish you a safe trip. You know the process, you've been involved in the process, so I don't have to explain how we're going to do. We'll conclude our work, report to the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces, of which the presiding officers will write the letters to the President, advising him of our recommendations of the seven people to serve on the NYDA board, and the President will look at the recommendation, and from there he will take it into his hands based on the Act and do what is necessary. We are hoping that because the board has not been in place for a long time, we don't have to wait very long to have the NYDA board in place. So we just want to thank you for participating and coming through, and wish you a safe journey back home. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Honorable members, we are going to adjourn for about 30 minutes. Are we coming back after lunch, honorable members? So we are going to come back at 1, eh? At 2. Oh. My co-chairperson said, shall we allow the candidates to... We are going to resume, so it means we have the proposal from the co-chairs that we resume at 2. It's quarter past 12, so you gather your thoughts. We are going to remove after lunch. We have a long lunch. And then from there, we are starting with deliberations. That will be the time we have closed session. I think even the guys on the monitor will have enough time to switch off everything that they need to switch off. Thank you very much, members.
We are now
imagine
until 2 o'clock.